All right. Welcome to Movie Dudes, episode 90. I am Jeff, joined as always by Chris.
Hey.
I made it to the theater once again. This week, I went and saw the new Todd Phillips movie. It's based on a true story about these guys. Yeah. Yeah, he directed all the Hangover movies, and I think Due Date he also did, which I think was terrible.
Agreed.
He's been on a downward trend since the Hangover. Like, and the Hangover, I think, is great, but I mean, none of the sequels were as good.
No, not at all.
So I guess the first thing to get out of the way here is him, and also this movie. You see the trailer for this movie and you're like, okay, the director of the Hangover, it even says that like in the trailer, like the director of the Hangover trilogy, you got Jonah Hill and Miles Teller, I think his name is.
Yes.
Something like that. And so like, and just the way the trailer sells the movie, you're like, okay, this is going to be like a funny, like kind of, like comedy, like buddy comedy with like a little bit of action thrown in, right?
Yeah, that's kind of what I thought from it.
It is not that movie whatsoever. Like, it is not the movie that was advertised. This is Todd Phillips trying to do his best Scorsese impression. It is, this movie very much wants to be like Goodfellas slash Wolf of Wall Street slash kind of The Big Short thrown in there. But very much like anything, he is very much doing a Scorsese impression. Like all the things you'd see in a Scorsese movie, like the main character, Miles Teller, like he narrates over the whole movie, voiceover, explaining shit. There's a lot of like freeze frames. There's a lot of coke. There is. There's even songs that I swear to God were in Goodfellas, but just like, you know, really popular songs, like classic rock songs in this. And yeah, like if you didn't know better, you'd be like, is this Scorsese like slumming? Like, you know, this is what, it's like a weaker Scorsese effort or something. I don't know. Most of like the humor in it, like you're gonna see in the trailer, like it does have its funny moments, but they're pretty much all in the trailer. The rest of it's pretty serious. So
really,
this is a departure for Todd Phillips, and the movie's got very mixed reviews. I ended up enjoying it quite a bit, but I could definitely see where some of the negative reviews are coming from. But anyways, I guess let's just kind of get into like what it really is. Miles Teller is like a 20-something who he doesn't have a lot of money. He's like selling bed sheets and giving massages to rich dudes. That's how he's getting by.
Okay.
And he runs into his old childhood buddy, played by Jonah Hill, who is starting up this small company where he's selling weapons. He kind of found a hole in the system that happened in the Bush, during the Bush administration. I guess like this is kind of, the movie's kind of like a, trying to be like a commentary on how war is all about money, and also kind of trying to say something about like what the Bush administration did to America. Because Cheney had ties to big military, or whatever, right?
Yeah, like so Blackwater,
I just want to say Halliburton.
Halliburton too.
Yeah. So because this was like kind of found out, they're like, oh well, we're gonna try to even the playing field and make it seem more fair, and so that these smaller companies could bid on military contracts. So that's how like Jonah Hill's character found a way to kind of like weasel his way, like kind of squirm his way into this industry, and slowly, or quickly build up his this small empire into something bigger and become kind of a real player in the military industrial complex or whatever. So that's kind of what it's about, like, and it's like them going from, you know, rags to riches, and but doing things that are, if not illegal, at least very sketchy along the way.
Okay.
And Jonah Hill is great in it. Like, Jonah Hill is kind of like this terrifying sociopath in it, with a really weird laugh that he has in it. But just, I don't know, he's a very, like, he is a presence in this movie. He is, in my opinion, the reason to see this movie. I wouldn't say it's like a rush out to the theater and see.
But, like, if you can catch it, give it a go.
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely like a Redbox or a Netflix. I don't think I didn't come away disappointed in it. Like, I found his performance to be very compelling. Like, it was very interesting. I'm like, wow, this guy. I already knew he could act. I mean, he's won an Oscar, but I mean, he shows like a darker side in this, and it's kind of Miles Teller's your like main character, good guy who gets kind of like hung for the ride with Jonah Hill. And Jonah Hill takes them to darker and more dangerous and, you know, more illegal places. And he kind of, you know, drags our quote-unquote good character along and, you know, makes him do things that he wouldn't normally do because he wants to make money or whatever.
Right.
That's kind of what it is. And it kind of goes places where you might expect from there. Like, like I said, there is some funny moments, but it is also, it's like a darker movie about crime. And it's interesting. It's interesting to see Todd Phillips trying to do this, and, you know, generally getting away with ripping off Scorsese. So I found it to be like, it never reaches the heights of anything that Scorsese's done. This is no Goodfellas. It's certainly no Wolf of Wall Street. Although Wolf of Wall Street is more of a comedy than this, and Wolf of Wall Street is fucking hilarious, and this movie's just. It's kind of like, doesn't know what it wants to be, but it's interesting enough. Like, I found the story, like this true story, to be interesting enough to get over some of like the problems with it, and just Jonah Hill, like he's awesome in it. So, I watched this show called What the Flick, and they reviewed this movie, and they gave it like, dude, like 2 out of 10, like
really.
Really low, yeah. Really low scores.
It's like even like, all the even critics, like Rotten Tomatoes, like seems like it's hovering like between positive and negative. Like,
yeah, like there's some people that like it. Yeah. Some people say, you know, not so great, but like they fucking hated it. And they did make a point, like that was like, you know, I saw this review long after I saw the movie and it formed my opinion. But they're like, one of the big problems with the movie, they said, is it doesn't know what it wants to say. It doesn't really take a position on anything. And with characters that you don't care about. And I'm like, I could kind of see what they're saying, but I think it does have something to say. It just isn't much. It's just like, well, yeah, war's corrupt. You know, that's kind of what I got out of it. But I did like the characters enough in this to care about what was going on. I didn't hate Miles Teller's character, and, you know, Jonah Hill's character you're kind of supposed to hate. So, I don't know. I didn't find that movie to be nearly as bad as they said.
Yeah. It sounds like it was somewhat effective in making Jonah Hill like an asshole and Miles Teller like kind of this the good guy out of the pairing. So,
yeah, it just never – I would say that, like, Todd Phillips is not as confident in what he's doing as Scorsese, and that the stakes never really go as high as in a movie like Goodfellas, where like people are just getting killed left and right. Like, there is danger in this. I think it's smaller danger. It's more danger of getting caught and going to jail and stuff like that. But,
got it.
I don't know. I think it's worth it. It's not like amazing, and it's definitely not the movie that I thought it was going to be going in, but I really enjoyed Jonah Hill in it, and yeah, like it was, I think, 2 hours long, and I never was like bored at all. Like, I was always interested in what was going on. So we'll go 3 on it.
All right.
I did enjoy it though, so it's not. And I'm not. I'm just surprised by how negative some of the reviews. Like I watched that review. I was like, "Whoa, you guys hated this movie," and I didn't feel that way at all coming out of it. So I think it's like I honestly, outside of The Hangover, it's showing some growth for Todd Phillips as a director. So I'm interested to see what he does from here.
I'm interested in at least giving it a go when.
So yeah, I said three out of five.
All right.
Chris, you finally saw a movie I don't think we reviewed on the show. I don't remember. I saw the movie a long time ago. American Ultra.
Yes, I saw American Ultra, and I don't remember talking about it. So I saw it kind of pop up on I guess it's new on Amazon Prime. And I was like, you know what? I'll give it a go. Trailer looked fun. It was all right. it stars Jesse Eisenberg and Kristen Stewart. Jesse Eisenberg is this neurotic, kind of paranoid stoner dude who has panic attacks anytime he tries to leave the town, which is a there's a reason for that, but we'll get into that in a minute. But yeah, so he works. He's a clerk at like a grocery store in this like sleepy West Virginia town. His girlfriend is Kristen Stewart, who also kind of a little more put together stoner, but she's there. And I'm trying to think of Connie Britton shows up, and she's a CIA agent, and she gets word that I guess one of her experiments, or I don't know what the hell it is
it's a mess.
Yeah, it's gonna get executed. She heads off to this town, and that asset she has happens to be Jesse Eisenberg's mic. So she goes in, she knows where he's at, and she like activates him. And he's like this super spy, like sleeper agent, super, like he knows everything. And it's just kind of insane all over the place. Like he gets this ability to just, you know, fight and do combat, and stabs a dude with a spoon, but he's also this bumbling fool at the same time. So he, it's like he doesn't quite understand what's going on as he does it. And then it's just kind of like a string of like these set pieces from there on out, with a little bit of story kind of pushed in where, they delve into how he became the sleeper agent and who's all involved. And Topher Grace plays this like dickhead CIA mid-management dude that's trying to take out, all these other agents that have been made, and he's doing it by, he's created like an army of crazy people that have been kind of brainwashed much like this, except they're homicidal maniacs. One of which is Walt Goggins in like a really goofy role. John Leguizamo's in it as like Mike's drug dealer buddy.
Yeah, he's like, yeah,
super flamboyant.
Yeah,
it's just totally off the wall and goofy. I had fun with it. It's dumb. Like, it's really, really dumb. The plot is a mess. It's all over the place. But I like Eisenberg and Stewart in this. And
yeah,
I had fun with it.
I remember this is written by Max Landis.
Yes,
I remember him. I think it was him talking about it on Twitter about how he was very inspired by True Romance, and he kind of wanted to do that, like an action romance thing.
Okay, I mean there's some of it there.
Yeah, sure. You know, I could see, yeah, him like saying that and like what he was aiming for. But like when you say True Romance, you are inviting yourself to comparisons to that movie. And
sure,
dear God, like this is no True Romance. This is
a goofy action comedy. It's just goofiness. That's all.
Well, I mean, True Romance is too, but True Romance is like Dude, I think it's Tarantino's best movie, and he didn't direct it, but he wrote the script. Like, I think it's just like an amazing movie, and this is just a fucking, it's like a goofy mess, I think. Like, it's kind of like I saw everything that was gonna happen before it was happening, and you know, like I know you know right away what he is, probably from just the trailer,
Yeah, I mean,
and.
you know, going in that he has like some sort of superpowers or something, like.
Yeah, I just don't know. It didn't work for me, and it's been a long time since I've seen it. But I do remember just absolutely hating Topher Grace in it. Like, he was just hamming it up so bad.
Yeah, he's super over the top. But I think that it kind of fits because everybody's kind of off the wall in this. Like, Walt Goggins completely insane in this
Well,
movie.
Walt
Like,
Goggins is good at that, though. Like, Walt
oh yeah, he
Goggins, I
plays
mean,
crazy to a T.
yeah, like, he's great in Vice Principals, you know. He's always,
Different
like, at,
type of crazy there.
he's, like,
Topher
he had
Grace
this
isn't a
really
really
great,
great actor either, so.
no, he's not, Walton Goggins is, but it's just funny to me, because Walton Goggins, like, I know him from The Shield, that's how I first knew him.
Right.
And that was a very serious, dramatic role that he was amazing in. And ever since then, he's like carved out a career playing like these bumbling idiots, like just racist assholes or just total like idiots or pricks. And I mean, he's great. Like, he's great in what was the last Tarantino movie? That Western?
The Hateful Eight.
Why can't I think of? Yeah, Hateful Eight. He was great in that. He kind of like became the lead of it at some point during that movie.
Yeah.
And yeah, I don't know, but yeah. But Topher Grace is not up to, like, he does not have the talent that Walton
No.
Goggins has. I don't know. I mean, it's hard for me to sit here and shit on that when I don't remember it well. But I just remember hating Topher Grace in it, and just the movie not working for me. So,
Well, and I mean, I guess you
based on memory, I'd go with two on it, but it's been a
if
while.
especially if you went into that movie like having heard it being compared to True Romance, like I could definitely see where that, like, I didn't go in with any of that. It was like, oh, this is like just something I'm gonna
Yeah.
sit here and watch. It's all right. It's fun. So I'm gonna go three on it, but
I should say too, I like Max Landis. I really love Chronicle, which he wrote. So I hate Max Landis because he talks shit about Star Wars. Like, he's whatever, that it could be his opinion, but that's this movie, that movie in particular, I did not like. So
did Max Landis talk shit about Star Wars?
yeah, you don't remember? You never heard this controversy?
No.
He was the guy that came up with the Mary Sue thing with what's her name?
Oh, with the yeah, okay. I heard about that with
That was
Rey.
he did he was the one that like started that, and like he got lots of like months of hate off the internet because of that. And it's like, dude, whatever, it's his opinion, so what,
He's
you know?
allowed to have his opinion and
Yeah, he
whatever.
could be wrong, that's fine.
I do want to see, speaking of Walt Goggins, I've heard Justified is really good, and he's
Yeah.
evidently like one of the leads in that, so
He's like the main bad guy in it. I watched
yeah.
like the first two or three episodes of that show, and I was like, it's okay, but it wasn't really pulling me in. He's
Yes,
like
I
this not he's a Nazi asshole in it. Like, he's just great at playing like this asshole
right.
that, I don't know. So, anyways, I guess moving along.
Yes.
I saw the weirdest fucking movie I think I've ever seen.
All right.
It's called The Lobster, and I'm not even going to try to pronounce this director's name. Some weird foreign sounding name.
It does. I'm looking at it right now. It does sound porny.
It's like Yorgos Lanthimos. I don't know if I'm saying that right. Stars Colin Farrell. Trying to remember who else. I should probably pull up just because there are some big
Rachel Weisz.
people. Yeah, Rachel Weisz, John C. Riley is billed in it, although he's like in it for maybe fucking 10 minutes. So yeah, don't expect to see a whole bunch of him in it,
Because
even
like
though like they
he's in
kind
the
of,
trailer, but
yeah, he's in the trailer. He's like all over the trailer. But anyways, the premise of this movie. This is from IMDb. In a dystopian near future, single people according to the laws of the city, are taken to the hotel where they are obliged to find a romantic partner in 45 days or are transformed into beasts and sent off into the woods.
Okay.
Very, very, very odd premise. And so that's what it is. Colin Farrell is this guy. His wife left him. Hotel where he gets to spend 45 days there to try to find a partner. And if not, he's going to get turned into an animal of his choosing. And he chooses to be a lobster because they live a long time and they stay sexually active their whole life. And he likes the ocean.
Okay. And
it's weird. It has a slow start. But in a lot of the first half of this movie, I thought it was fucking hilarious. Like, it's this very dry humor where it's like people will say things that are so absurd and ridiculous, and they'll say it so deadpan. Like, it'll just be like he's riding on a bus with a girl, and she's like, you know, if you're not having luck finding anybody, like, hooking up, she's like, you could always hook up with me. I'm on floor, you know, I'm on the third floor, I'm in room 318. I always swallow when I give a blowjob, and I do enjoy getting fucked up the ass. Like, she just says it just like that. Like, just like, it's like, what the fuck? And so, like, and it goes really funny, bizarre places in the first half of this movie, where it comes to a point where he's, like, running out of time. He's only got, like, 7 days left. And he decides that he's going to try to date one of the few people who are still single there. And it's this cold, heartless bitch. And he starts dating her. You know, he kind of gets close to her by pretending like he's a total asshole too, and like he hates people. So they're like talking to this other couple who has a kid, like a little girl, and she tries talking to him. And Colin Farrell's like, "Why would you think I would want to talk to a silly little girl like you?" And he kicks the girl, like just like weird shit like that. And so I'm kind of just like, this is the weirdest thing ever, and I'm kind of laughing my ass off. And then the second half comes. And if you could believe it, the movie gets even weirder in the second half and not as funny. And it tries to build this romance in the second half. Not as strong, in my opinion. I found myself bored with the second hour of the movie. And ultimately, I think it didn't work. Like, I didn't like where it went. Like, it doesn't all take place in the hotel. It goes really bizarre places from there. And while I was having a lot of fun in the hotel, especially once he hooks up with this, like, heartless woman, like, right. It was comedy gold. And then it kind of unravels from there for me and becomes this weird thing, which I guess I won't spoil, but I just found that I felt like the romance in the second half didn't really work. The movie lost its, like, it wasn't as funny, and it was trying to make you care all of a sudden. Like, and it didn't work for me in the second half. So I it sucks for me to say, because I was really enjoying how, like, just absurd and deadpan it was, and then, like, I just was bored for a lot of the second hour. So yeah, it sucks. You know what the funny thing is? I mentioned What the Flick, how they hated the War Dogs. They gave it like 2 out of 10.
Right.
They all loved The Lobster. They said it was one of the best movies of the year. They all gave it 9+ out of 10.
Really?
I think one of them might have gave it a 10, 9.5, 9.1. Like, I was like, what? Like, and they praised the romance part of it that's in the second half, and how they like found themselves strangely caring about these characters more than they thought they would. And so I went in the opposite direction.
It kind of stops being funny after, like, they leave the hotel, though, or
I thought so. I thought, like, you know, there's still moments that are kind of funny, but it's definitely more just this bizarre sci-fi stuff and this weird romance that's going on. And I thought it wasn't, like, nothing was landing in the second half. Like, nothing connected with me. I didn't care about them, and I didn't care about the romance. And I thought that the ending was just whatever. And my girlfriend turned to me after this week. She's like, "You are never allowed to pick movies again." It's like, I didn't make the fucking movie. I just try to see everything that comes out generally, you know? So,
right.
And I was really loving it, but it pains me to say, I'm going to have to go 2 on it. I don't know what it sits at like a 91% on Rotten Tomatoes. Critics love this thing. To me, it's just it sucks because I was liking it. I could see what people liked about it, but I don't, in the second half it wasn't there for me. So
I mean,
when half of your movie is dull, you know, the bright spots should not be the first hour of the movie, you know.
Well, it seems that, I mean, the critics loved it, but audiences were a little more mixed on it. They seemed to generally like it.
Yeah, this is not a mainstream audience movie whatsoever. You really have to be able to handle some weird art shit to get in those. But I'm telling you, it's worth checking out just because it's so weird.
Right.
And like, it's just, you'll never see anything like it. And there are parts in the first half that I thought were really hilarious, but... unfortunately, just I felt like it didn't come together for the second half. It's unfortunate, but
well,
it's a critic, just not this critic.
You saw something else though.
Yeah, and I keep forgetting what the hell it was. Why can't I remember?
Call of Duty the movie.
Oh yeah, yeah.
That's not what it's called.
This is one I remember you were like against. You're like, I can't. I'm not gonna do this.
I saw the trailer and it like gave me a headache.
Okay. I could see that. It was kind of at parts for me. I found it difficult. My girlfriend stopped watching it because of that. She was just like, "This is, how are you watching this without getting a headache?" Because it is weird. It does have like a weird narrow field of view. It feels like,
right,
and it's just disorienting because it's all first person. So yeah, this is a movie that it's a crazy balls to the wall action movie. 90 minutes of nonsense. That it's all done in first person, and it is essentially a tribute to video games. I mean, if it's something, it's supposed to be something other than that. I don't know how, because that's what it feels like. Right down to like the dumb nonsensical plot. So you're stuck inside this guy's head as he wakes up, and you see he's been rebuilt like he was dead, and they're like putting a new arm on him and a new leg, and he's, you know, a bionic man. And his girlfriend's bringing him back to life with science, and she gets like, they get attacked by these bad guys, and he has to try to run through the city and try to get his energy cell working, like his battery in him working, and he has to try to find her and kill the bad guy. And don't try not to think too hard about this plot. The thing about it is, there's things I like about it. It's goofy. Some of the action sequences are really inventive and really cool, I thought. And it is, you know, it's like a neat gimmick of, you're in this whole movie in first person, stuck in Hardcore Henry's eyes. But the thing is, once the novelty of that gimmick wears off, you're left with, well, what is this? And it is, like, fun. Like I said, there's action sequences. There's one scene they show in the trailer where he's, like, it's, like, on a highway, and he's, like, jumping from car to car and throwing grenades in the cars and then jumping to a bike. And it's just, like, wow, this is really – there's another one, right, where they're going through a building, and he's, like, throwing grenades and stuff all over the place, like – and I have to appreciate that. Like, all right, it's 90 minutes. Most of the movie's action doesn't slow down a whole hell of a lot. And some of the action's really cool. And the movie definitely does not take itself seriously. All those things I like. But, like, the plot, like, very little sense. Like, it's just very basic. Like, there's a bad guy. All the stuff on top of it that... like explanations for things that fast, that it can be confusing. Like, it's easy to miss, and some of the things can be confusing. You're like, what the hell is going on here? And like, there's like a twist, and you're like, okay, whatever, who cares? Like, I don't know. Like they tried to write a lot of little things into the plot, but like most of it just went by so fast that you're just like, I don't know what the fuck is going on. The movie, like, I looked up the plot synopsis like on Wikipedia, and I was like, okay, that's what I thought it was, but like, the movie was not great at explaining all that. There's one guy that like tags along with him through a lot of it, kind of like what do they call those, like escort missions in video games? It's right. Like your companion guy.
Trying to keep him alive.
Yeah. Like, well, he's not trying to keep him, like.
So you just had like trying a, to, he had like an AI partner.
He's trying to keep you alive, and he's the one telling you, like, he's AI partner. He's like, he's the guy who's explaining to you everything that's going on. And I found this guy to be tiresome. Like, I did not like the actor that, and I just, yeah, I didn't really enjoy it. And he, it's weird because he, although it's the same actor, he plays different characters as you go along. It's weird, but don't. Basically, there's a guy that's making copies of himself. So there's like a stoner version of him. There's like, whatever, dude. It's fucking stupid. But like, I just found, I found the actor to be grating. Like, and I got tired of him real quick, which is too bad because you're with him for like the whole movie.
Is that a Charlito Copley? Is that who plays the partner?
Maybe. I don't know. I don't know who the guy is, so I don't know.
Is his name Jimmy in the movie?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is the actor you know?
He's the guy from District 9 and Chappie and Elysium and.
Okay. Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
I only saw District 9, and I saw that a long time ago. So yeah, I didn't like him.
The South African guy there. Yeah.
So that was a problem. The fact that the plot is like basically fucking just bullshit nonsense. It's whatever. But like, you know, for you to keep caring for an hour and a half, it's hard. Like, all I was like going is, okay, let's get to the next cool action scene.
Right.
Those things were great. The action scenes were great.
Was it a situation or two where you're like, I wish I was just controlling this myself?
Yeah, a little bit. Like, I don't know. Like, it did. It was kind of like a nice tribute to video games in a way. And like, it's just so clearly like, if anyone tries to say it's anything else, like if the director's trying to say it's not that, I would be all right. I would not believe it. Like, just like little things where like he just checks his phone and there's the GPS on it with a blue dot showing him his next location where he has to go. Like, that's awesome. What he's doing through the whole movie. Yeah.
I have a feeling like the director of this, I guess he wrote part of Payday 2.
Okay.
So he's like worked in video.
Obviously, like video. Yeah. I mean, it's a fun, stupid 90-minute action movie. I would say way more fun than like American Ultra, but like it does have like it has the problems I said, and I guess I'll reiterate what I thought what the problems was. The plot's nonsense.
Right.
It can be kind of hard to watch at points. I didn't like the character you spend the most time with, which was Jimmy. And also one other little thing is sometimes like it's super over the top violent and like just crazy, but sometimes the violence looks fake, like bad CG or something, like the blood effects. Like I don't think they were all practical. I think some of them are cheap computer blood. So I just really appreciate one. It's and some of the action scenes are really cool. And there's a lot of them like it's basically 90 minutes of almost nonstop action. So, and it's goofy. The movie knows it's silly. I had an okay time with it. I think it's one you should check out. I know you've been trying to avoid
yeah.
it. Although the problem might be for you, if the trailer gave you a headache, well, 90 minutes of it will definitely.
Yeah, I don't know if that'll work. But if I come across it, maybe I give it a go.
I'm giving it a 3. So I'm not going any right. higher than 3 this week, I guess.
That seems to be it's a mediocre week from us here. So.
Yeah, it's just it's too bad about War Dogs. I wanted to like it more, and I did enjoy it quite a bit, but it was just not. I thought it was going to be like amazing. It was not that. But. Yeah, oh well.
All right. Hopefully we have higher scores next week though. I'm going to go see Don't Breathe tomorrow. So.
Oh yeah. Me too. I'm going tomorrow 7:30. This is one that when we saw the trailer, we were both like, wow, this looks like something that's really special. And yeah. At least, I mean, I have not seen it yet, so who knows what my reaction will be, but I'm very happy to see that it's getting good reviews. Like, and a lot of critics talking about it, like it's really something special. So, hell yeah. It's good to see this one. This one might pan out, actually.
I've heard good things from people that have seen it, so. That's next week. Maybe we'll catch some stuff on Netflix or Redbox or whatever. I don't know. I don't have anything on tap, but
I have. All right, I got two things. One I have here is a movie called The Bronze. Have you heard of it?
No.
Neither had I, but one of my coworkers said check it out. It's like a comedy about some Olympian girl.
Oh, I do it that it, she's like a I guess she's this washed up former Olympic gymnast, right? And
yeah,
she's like training a new or she goes to help train a new rising Olympic star or something like that.
Yeah, I just whatever, I'm just gonna give it a shot just because whatever. Yeah,
did not do well, if I remember correctly, with critics when it came out. So
I had not heard of it, so there you go. But I do have something else on tap. I'm going to start going through a film series I have not seen. And okay. The reason being, I was listening to the Slash Filmcast this last week, and they just like went into hyperbolic praise over Richard Linklater's Before series. Have you ever seen any of those?
No.
It's like Before Sunrise, Before Sunset, Before Midnight.
Okay.
Any of those movies?
Nope. Never seen them.
You? Okay, well, obviously I have not seen them. I had heard of them. I had heard of them. It is Ethan Hawke and, say, Julie Delpy?
Yes. Just
a yeah, little. And it's like a romance that takes place over one night. At least I guess the first one is, right? And like how you do with Boyhood, where he, like, filmed that over 12 years. Well, this series is just, like, 10 years with these characters.
He just keeps coming back.
See what's going on with them. So he's made three of them so far. I don't know if he plans to make more, but like they were like in the Slash Filmcast, they were just like talking about how great these movies are. Like they're amazing. Like one of the best film series ever. Like the second movie is the best sequel ever. And I was like, all right, dude, you guys are hyping it up like crazy. I like Boyhood a lot. And I love like, you know, Days of Confused from Richard Linklater. So I'm just like, okay, I'll give it a shot. So I'm going to work my way through them and see what I think of it.
All right.
I'm not like super hyped about them. Obviously, I was aware of them, and if I'd wanted to see them, I could have before. But they sold me on it. So Slash Filmcast, they better not fuck this up for me. I'll be pissed. No, whatever. We'll see. So that's it. That's what I have planned. And then, of course, finishing up The Night Of coming this weekend.
Right, which you've said I should watch. I'm probably just going to wait until the whole series is done. But so it's happening. Yeah,
something really interesting happened in the second to last episode that has some people saying, like, well, you know what? It doesn't really matter if this kid gets out of prison anymore. And I could see why people are saying that. And I'm really kind of like, the show is like, it's amazing. But like, it has so many things up in the air going into the finale that you're like,
how does it wrap it up?
I have a feeling that it doesn't necessarily care if it wraps everything up, and it doesn't necessarily care about revealing who the killer is. And I don't know that it necessarily cares that, like, whether the character that we care about, the main character who's in jail for a crime that we think he didn't commit, I don't think it necessarily cares anymore on resolving that. Like, it's just, it could go any fucking direction in this finale. Huh. I have no idea. And you know, the reason people are saying it doesn't matter if he gets out of prison anymore is because the time he spent in prison going through trial has changed him so much that he's no longer an innocent person anyways, even if he was innocent going in. Excellent show. Like, really great. I can't wait to see how it ends, but, like, I'm really worried that it's not going to be a satisfying ending. You just be like, okay.
So I should prepare for the internet storm on Monday morning.
There's definitely going to be some talk no matter what, because, like, the show, it is amazing. Like I said last week, I think it's the best show this year. And I just, yeah, who knows what the talk is going to be come Monday morning. But we'll find out. You really need to check it out, though, for sure. It's great.
I will do that. I guess we'll be back next week.
Yeah.
All right.
Don't Breathe feature review.
Yes. In depth on that, for sure.
Yeah.
All right.
All right, that'll do it. Movie dudes.